Father, we thank you again today for the privilege to come together in the name of Jesus and to lift up our voices in prayer and praise and adoration and thanksgiving for your loving kindnesses and tender mercies which are ours. Thank you again for thy precious, holy, written word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to feed upon the word of God, to study the word of God together. And thank you for the great teacher you've sent, the Holy Spirit. We trust him to give us utterance, and we trust him to unveil and to unfold and to reveal the word of God unto our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them again first to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel and then to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. While you're finding those two openings, I remember reading after some of the folks there what they said in the early days of the Pentecostal revival. Way back about 1906, 1907, 1908, what we call the old Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles that ran for 3 years, three services a day. Every day, 7 days a week for three solid years, and no guest speakers, or that is, no announced speakers or special speakers or special evangelists. And folks came from all over the world, actually. Came from Europe, came from other countries of the world. Received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I remember one minister writing, said, we searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. There's a clue there. We searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You see, a lot of times folks don't search the scriptures for themselves. We'll apply that to healing. They just heard somebody say the Lord healed the sick, and so they're hoping that he does, and I might get healed. I'll take a chance at it anyway. And of course, they don't get anything. But when you search the scriptures daily for yourself, to see if these things are so. See, I've said for 50 years, and I'm going to keep on saying it. Don't accept something just because the preacher says it. Don't accept something just because your pastor said it. Don't accept something just because I said it. Search the scripture for yourself. Search the scripture for yourself and see if it's so. Well, if it's so, then you're obligated to walk in the light of it. Amen. If it's so and you know it's so and you find out it's so, then faith will come. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you see. Because you know the Bible is true, don't you? Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. Here in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, 13th, 14th verses, Jesus is speaking. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask. And the Greek word translated ask here also can be translated demand. Some translations read that. Whatever you demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask or you demand anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, that's not talking about prayer. A lot of times people will use that because, see, he said in the 16th chapter then, and the 23rd and 24th verses, he is talking about prayer here. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. See, that's prayer. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, in this verse, whatever you ask or demand in my name, you're not asking or demanding anything of God the Father. You're not asking or demanding anything of Jesus. It's like in the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles when Peter there at the gate called Beautiful said to that man that was sitting there begging alms or asking alms, look on us. He looked on them expecting. See, now that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to arouse his expectation and him to expect. If you don't expect to get anything from God or anyone else, you're not going to get anything. And so he said, look on us. The man looked on them expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So he's not going to get into silver and gold because he don't have any. But thank God he does have something. Such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? Well, thank God he had the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And so then he took him by the hand. Now, in other words, he demanded, or he asked, or demanded. Now see, Jesus said, whatever you ask or demand in my name, I'll do it. He demanded the man rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus did it. Glory to God. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what that portion of Scripture is talking about. Is using the name of Jesus like that. But John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, and 23rd and 24th verses, he is talking about prayer. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Now, notice he said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Jesus said this to his disciples just before he went away to Calvary to die and to be raised from the dead and to ascend on high, to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And a new day dawns, the day of the new covenant, the day of the new creation, praise God, the church age, the age that we're living in now. So in that day, now we would say, because see, he's looking forward to that day. Now then we'd say in this day, praise God, you'll ask me nothing. But whatever you ask the Father, that is prayer. In my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Now you see, they did not pray to the Father in the name of Jesus in the four Gospels. While Jesus was here on earth, it wouldn't have done any good. Because he hadn't died yet, he hadn't been raised from the dead yet, he had not ascended on high with his own blood to enter into the heavenly holies of holies to obtain the eternal redemption for us. He had not ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father wherever liveth to make intercession for us and become a mediator of a better covenant. See, but now he has. Praise God. And so, in that day, hitherto, up till now, up till this time, you've asked nothing in my name. He's talking about asking the Father now. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Evidently, God must want our joy to be full, not half full. Glory to God. But he must want our joy to be full, mustn't he? Now, do you know anything that makes your joy any more full than to get answers to prayer? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's your joy. See, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, every believer has a right to ask God the Father for healing. This is healing school. Or any other blessing that belongs to us according to the Word of God. He has a right to ask in the name of Jesus. And if he asks in that name, he has the absolute guarantee that the Father will hear and answer that petition. The Word of God said so. Glory to God. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Well, when you're full of joy, you can't hide it. Amen. You just can't do it. Just can't do it. You ever see somebody said, you know, got a long face, said, well, how you feeling? How's it going with you? Oh, I'm just full of joy. No, you wouldn't even have to ask them. Their face would be lit up like a neon sign in the dark. They just couldn't keep from smiling. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I never read this portion of Scripture, that your joy may be full, but when I think of an illustration that Smith Wigglesworth gave, he said he was this is before he went into full-time ministry, he was a plumber. And so they were putting plumbing in one of the houses there in England, an old home, because, you know, they had no plumbing way back yonder. And they were putting in plumbing and so on, putting in a bathroom. And so he said, I noticed the lady of the house, and these were folks, you know, of some nobility. She kept coming every once in a while, looking in the room where they were working. He and his helper, apprentice plumber that was helping him. And every few minutes, she'd come and look in the door. And finally, he needed some extra, some supplies or something. And so he sent the helper, the young man, back to get them. And when he left, well, she came into the room and shut the door, backed up against it, said, "Would you tell me something, please?" And he said, "Well, I will if I can. What is it?" She said, "What makes that wonderful look on your face?" That's why she's coming looking in there every now and then about, see? There's just something about it. His joy was full. Glory to God. What causes that wonderful look on your face? Well, he said, "I'll tell you, we got up this morning, went down to the breakfast table. My wife said a couple of the children were sick. And so I said, before we ever ate breakfast, we went upstairs and anointed them with oil and laid hands on them, and God healed both of them. And they just came down to sit down at the breakfast table and ate breakfast with us and went on about their daily affairs." You see, his joy is full. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. That's your joy, that's your joy, that's your joy. How in the world could your joy be full and your children sick? No way in the world. Praise God. Amen. Sure, I can see healing in that verse, can't you? How could your joy be full and your children sick? How could your joy be full and your husband sick? How could your joy be full and your wife sick? How could your joy be full and you sick? No, I don't have to spell out H-E-A-L-I-N-G to be healing. Amen. I see it just in every chapter, every verse, and every line. Glory to God. Amen. I want you to get you to the place where you can. Amen. And so hitherto, up till now, up till this day, up till this time, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. Hallelujah. See, in his name. Then the Father will give it you that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So Wigglesworth's joy was full. Hallelujah. It was showing up on his face. And if your joy is full, it'll show up on your face. Amen. Amen. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
If you can't, say oh me. It's also anyway. Praise God. Amen. Well, this lady said, "Can I have that?" Yeah, he said, "You can, but you'll have to get saved first." He'd been around there long enough to know she wasn't even saved. So standing right there with her back to the door, he led her to the Lord. Praise God. And now she's full of joy. Glory to God. And said, she said, "Oh, can I keep it? Can I keep it?" Yeah, he said, "You can keep it, but there's something strange about this. The way you keep it is by giving it away." "What do you mean, giving it away?" "Well," he said, "I've been around here long enough to know that the ladies come, you know, once a week, have a meeting there, some kind of club meeting in their home, and said when they come, give it away. Tell every one of them what happened. Tell every one of them about Jesus." Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Say that out loud. Well, say it like this. Make a prayer. That my joy may be full. God wants me full of joy.
God wants me full of joy.
Amen.
Amen.
He does. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, "God wants you full of joy.
God wants you full of joy.
Your joy to be full." Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. All right, let's look at another scripture here. Look at Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 19th and 20th verses. We're talking about just simply Bible ways, scriptural ways, or methods to receive healing for your body. Well, one is just simply yourself. Just say, "In the name of Jesus, sickness, leave my body." In the name of Jesus, say, "In the name of Jesus, pain, you leave my body. You've got no right to be here. You can do it yourself." That way you won't ever have to have anybody to pray for you. Praise God. You know, actually, I tell you the real truth about it, Christians shouldn't really need anybody to pray for them. You ought to learn about the name of Jesus, praise God, and use it. But if you do, thank God there's help for you. And that we're various stages of spiritual growth, and that's the reason that that the Word of God tells us about these various means, praise God, and methods. Now, here's a good one. Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 19th and 20th verses. You're acquainted with it. Praise God. After all, I'm not going to be able to tell you anything new. I don't know anything new on the subject of healing and faith. Do you? I said, "You ought to get a new revelation." No, we'll wait till all you walk in the light of this one before we get a new one. And then won't need a new one. Because you walk in the revelation of this and you won't need any new one. Amen. I said, amen. All right, again, Jesus said, "I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth." Well, one thing about that fits us. Because it says on earth. That's us. That works here on earth. two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now the 20th verse, of course, goes with that. Jesus says, for. You see, he joins or couples about what he's about to say to what he's just said. Why will that work? Why will it that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it be done for them by my Father which is in heaven? Why will it be done? How will it be done? Now why? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, Rita, we think we have because we quote that, say it, and wrote that we know what that verse means. We've never even started to plumb the depth of that verse yet. After all, if Jesus is here, what would he do? Huh? There am I. If Jesus was here, he'd do the same thing he did when he was here in the flesh. But what did he do when he's here? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God's with him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right. If two of you then agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now notice, every one of these portions of Scripture, the name of Jesus is mentioned. See, go back there to John then, the 14th chapter again. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Previous verse, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So Peter asked, or demanded, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Took that crippled man by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, bless God, and it went into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God.
Amen.
Now notice, in prayer then, hitherto, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Notice in my name. Now notice again, you see, where these two agree, they are gathered in his name. Again, I said, see, we lift it out of the setting sometimes and state it, and it works, but yet right on the other hand, we don't get the full import unless we read the surrounding scriptures. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. In my name. In my name. There am I. Wherever his name is, there he is. His name and the person, Jesus, are one. Praise God. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
See, your name, if you're here, your name's here. Amen. We think of you, we think of your name, we think of you. Because you and your name are one. You see, the name will do everything that Jesus would do if he was here in person. Because the scripture there in Philippians said God has raised him up, you know, and given him a name above every name. Now, he's highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. He has highly exalted the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and then given him a name. The name is exalted as much as the person. Given him a name above every name. It's exalted above every name. Hallelujah. Now, very often we'll lift this 20th verse out of its setting, Like, for instance, when we have a church service or something and say, well, Jesus is here. And it's true, he's here. Because the scripture said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. But we leave the impression, if we're not careful, you see, what we say is true, all right. But yet, if we're not careful, we leave the impression that that verse only has reference to a church service or where we gather together to worship God. But no, what Jesus is really talking about is wherever those two people on the earth are in agreement, he's right there. I mean, he's right there. I mean, he's right there. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that's really what he's saying. It is true, all right, that wherever we gather together in a church service, he's there. Amen. But really, that wasn't what he's talking about. See, really, in one sense of the word, that scripture is partially misapplied. We know he's there, all right. But here, what he was talking about was, wherever on the earth it is that those two people are gathered together and in agreement in his name, he's right there. There may just be two of you that we can see, but there's a third party there. Ooh, glory to God. There's a third party in that transaction. He's unseen, but he's there. Now, you see, when you know that, then blessed be God. I mean, you may be in the kitchen of your home, just you and your husband. But see, when you get into agreement, praise God, he's there. I mean, you're doing business for God with Jesus. If that ever gets a hold of you. See, but too many times I think the name of Jesus is, to a lot of Christians, it's sort of like a good luck charm. Well, boy, if I wear that in my pocket or carry it, you know, or a chain around the neck or something, it might bring me good luck. Or like a rabbit's foot, you know, or a good luck charm. I sure hope it works. Well, the name won't mean a thing in the world to you. But when you know that you cannot separate the name from the person. See, there, gathered together in my name, there am I. Oh. Oh, my. There am I. There am I. Oh, that makes all the difference in the world. There am I. There am I. Hallelujah. Well, what's he doing there? Well, he'd already said, I'll do it. He's there to see that it's done. Praise God. So in one sense of the word, we might say this. See, prayer is the greatest business there is on earth. Somebody asked Billy Graham one time, you know, about, because they put out a lot of advertising. They'll start to work, you know, sometime 2 years ahead of time on some of the crusades. They'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars before they ever start. They'll put out thousands of dollars for advertisement through churches, on television, radio, and so on. Somebody asked him, well, you know, is it right to spend all that money for advertising? You know, some people, bless their heart, they think they're spiritual and don't know that they're really carnal. Bless their hearts. It's hard to help folks like that. So couldn't that money, well, couldn't you take that money and feed the poor? Well, if they didn't do any advertisement, who would come? They wouldn't even know this happened anything. No, he said it's right to advertise. He said companies don't mind spending millions of dollars to advertise their product. And we've got the greatest product there is on this earth. Glory to God. We've got the greatest product there is. Let's tell people about it. Let's advertise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. I don't know. That's so good. I'll just camp here for a little. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask. So they do ask, don't they? Amen. I said they do ask, don't they? Now, let's stop and think about it a little bit, and you'll see where folks miss it, and they wonder why it doesn't work, see? Somebody said, Brother Hagin, I wish you'd agree with me. He said, I'm believing for a new home. Would you agree with me? Well, yeah, I'll agree with you. And it don't work. Why? Because we didn't ask anything.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that is good.
See? Amen. Amen. See? Would you agree with me about this? Yeah, I agree with you, all right. But it won't work. See, it don't work. Very, did you ever notice it very seldom ever works? I've been at this 50 years, you know. You'd stumble over a few things in 50 years. See, we didn't ask anything. We agreed on something, but we didn't ask anything. So we didn't meet the qualifications. We didn't meet the See, it didn't work. See, we didn't go according to directions. One time, I tell the story very often, you know, I bought something. I know something broke around the house, an appliance or something. I bought a part from Sears and Roebuck, see? And I'm just going to do it myself because it's an easier, you know, easy thing, really. And really, I think I know because I've done it before. And so I just sewed the directions, you know, and actually in opening up the thing, I tore this page of directions, sort of stuck to the, you know, and it's torn up. And I throwed it in the waste bag, didn't pay attention to it, see? And I installed it and didn't work. Well, I know now. I know. You know, I think we're that way spiritually a lot of time. We think we know. We say, I know, but now do we really know? See? And so I went over again, you know, and it didn't work. I couldn't get it to work. I said, well, now, maybe I missed it. I'll go get them directions. Well, I'd throw them in the wastebasket. In the meantime, somebody had come along, took the wastebasket, and emptied the thing. Boy, I had to go out to the main thing, you know, and empty it up and go looking through it because a lot of stuff on top of it. And finally get these pieces of paper and put them together and get me some tape, you know, cellophane tape, you know, and tape them together and read that out, see? And it gave you exactly the steps to go by. I said, number one, number two, I said, I did that. Number three, I did that. Number four, I did, I didn't do number four. I did number five, but I didn't do number four. And so I did number four, and it worked. Amen?
Yeah.
It worked. See? But you see, I thought I knew. I'd done that before. Now you understand my analogy?
Yes.
Scripturally and spiritually speaking, we've done that before.
Yeah.
We've heard it preached. Oh, you can't tell me anything about prayer. I know all about a fellow like that. Dear God, you're never going to get in this life where you will know all about anything. And when you think you know all about it, you're in a mess. Amen. I call that ignorance gone to seed. Amen. Now, all right. Again, let's camp here for a little bit. This is good. This is good. You know, Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, that this is good eating. Praise God. You know, I'm feeding on it while you're feeding on it. Amen. Would you eat something some cook said down here? I've got this, some chef, you know, I've cooked this meal. Said, I'll never eat it anymore and cook it myself. Boy, I don't think I'd touch that. I don't think I'd touch that. No, I wouldn't feed you something I don't eat. Amen. This is good eating. This is good eating. This is good eating. This is good feeding, isn't it? Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree. Now you see, a lot of people have taken step number one. There's two of you. They've taken step number two. They agreed, but they didn't take step number three. As touching anything they ask. They didn't ask. Well, you're in agreement with me, aren't you? Yeah, we agreed. But did we ask? See, I'm believing for so-and-so. Did you ask? No, I'm just believing for it. No, I'm just believing for it. again and again, he said ask. Yes. Ask.
Yes.
Ask. Yes. Back over there in Matthew, remember Jesus said, your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. See, now a lot of folks stop, they say, well, he knows, and whatever I need, I know he'll send. That's not what it said. He knoweth what you have need of before you ask. 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 Be specific. I use the illustration very often, you know, about, you know, if you would go down to the supermarket and get you one of those carts and just run up and down the aisle all day. Just all in the morning. But probably after a little while, somebody would probably come and ask to see if he could help you. I mean, anything, you know, what could we do? No, any specific item you want? No, I just want some groceries. Now, what are you going to get? How could they help you? No, I just wanted some groceries. You just keep pushing your cart up and down the aisles. Another 2 hours went by and you could see them around looking and whispering. Finally, the manager comes, said, you've been pushing that cart up and down here for half a day. Half a day. Think about that. 4 hours. Not a thing in it. I mean, anything we could particularly help with, we'd be glad to help you. No, I just wanted some groceries. Well, they'd call the police. They'd say, he's got something loose up here. He likes two brick having a full load. Something wrong. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can send a little kid. I know I did, and Ken, just 4 years old. Little old, neighborhood grocery store right up from us. I'd say, son, run up there and tell Mr. Cooper, because I had a little charge counter, tell him we want a loaf of bread. He knew exactly what kind of bread we got. A loaf of bread and a box of tea. And 4 year old kid go up there, and say, Mr. Cooper, daddy sent me up here for a loaf of bread and a box of tea and come back with it. See? Now why? He's specific. He asked something. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he was sent for. He asked. Ask. Ask. Well, I'm believing for a new suit. Hope Santa Claus brings me one. Will you agree with me? Well, no. It wouldn't do any good. First of all, Santa Claus is not going to bring it anyhow.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, if we will agree on it and ask, hallelujah. Ask. Well, I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that and I'm believing for something else. Will you agree with me? That won't work. It won't work because we didn't ask anything. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. He didn't just say, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything. No, he says that they shall ask. See, you just leave a little bit of it out and it won't work. It's sort of like the story I tell sometimes, a true story. I was holding a meeting in another western state one time. We were, just using the church auditorium like we do very often to put on me. Took up our own offerings, paid our own advertisement, paid our own everything herself, And we put our money in the church safe. Well, in those days, this was 32 years ago. And so the man that I had helping me, I taught 10 o'clock in the morning, preached at night. And we had service every night, every day and every night, including Saturday. And the man that I had as manager of the meeting and MC of the service and all was a pastor. And right on the end, we was there 3 weeks, and right on the end of this third week, well, he got a telephone call, and one of the members of his congregation had gone home to be with the Lord, and he had to go home to preach that funeral, see? Well, he can't stay over because, he's got to go, and that's a pastor's job. And so he filled me in on what bills we had to pay yet. He had kept everything up. He's handling the finances and everything. So I'm free just to give myself continually to the prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And we had a daily radio broadcast, so we got to pay the radio station for this 3 weeks broadcast. I actually paid it by the week, so I got 1 week to pay. We put advertising in the newspaper. I got to pay the newspaper. I've got to pay the hotel bill and whatever. And then I'm going to take whatever money's left, home with me when I go home. And then I got so much that I pay him so much. So the money, and then whatever money we get here in these other days, that, you know, nice 2 or 3 days, well, we put it in the safe, you see. Well, I'm down there on Saturday morning, or after the morning service, really, and trying to get my money out. I've got this man gave me the combination to the safe. See, you turn it to the right and stop on this number, the left stop on this number, and so on. And I fiddled with that thing and worked and turned that thing and turned that thing and turned that thing. And I never could get the safe open. Because, see, I'm going to go pay the radio station because I'm going to leave early Monday morning. So Saturday I'm going to get everything paid up that we owe, you see. And a newspaper and all. And they're going to close by noon, some of them. And I want to get there before noon. I can't get the thing open. So I called the pastor's wife. See if she knew the company. Oh, yeah, I know the company. Open that safe many times. See? Well, what is it? Here, got my pencil. I wrote it down. That's it. I said, well, if I'm not mistaken, dear sister, that's what I've been doing for the last 40, 45 minutes, and I can't get the door open. Oh, it works. I've opened that a many a time. Now, listen, Garrett, careful and get an analogy here. It'll help you. And so I said, well, okay. So I put that piece of paper up beside the piece of paper I had, same number, same thing. So, okay. And so here I went again. And I must have fiddled with that thing and worked with that thing and turned that thing, I mean, for another 30 minutes or so. And now then, it's an hour and 15 minutes gone by. And I still can't get it open. It's still locked. My money's in there. I got to get it out. Amen. So I called back to the pastor. The pastor's wife answered. I said, are you sure that's it? Let me read that to you. Again, real carefully. Turn it to the right, stop on number this. Turn it back to the left, stop on this number. Turn it here and so on. So here we go. Oh, that's it, Brother Hagin. I've opened that safe a many a time. Well, I said, I've been doing that for an hour and 15 minutes and it won't open for me. Well, it does me. And so about that time she said, wait a minute, I hear a car. Maybe it's Brother so-and-so, her husband, you see. Sure enough, she came back and said, yeah, it's him. He'll be here just in a moment. So he came and said, what is it, Doc? I said, I can't get my money out of the safe. Well, he said, just wait. I'll be right there just in a few minutes. And I mean, it wasn't 10 minutes till here he was. I handed him that piece of paper, you see, that his wife had given. I mean, the number she'd give me. I had the other. I said, I've been trying this. And he looked, oh, he said, she's left a number out. But now, wait a minute. She's opened that safe many a time. See, that's where we miss it a lot of time. Instead of going by what the Bible said, we go by what Sister So-and-so said. Because she's got many an answer to prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, she knows all about it, you know.
That's good.
Well, no, he said, that won't open it. You've left a number out. See, you just leave one step out, it won't work. I mean, can you leave one clause out of here? Said, oh, that's not important. We'll just leave that out.
No.
Well, just leave this clause out. It'll be done for them. Leave that clause out. That won't work, will it? Huh? Well, leave one other clause out of the verse then. No. Amen. And so he just simply, I watched him. I looked over his shoulder. That first number, second number. But he put another number in there. And then another number I had, that thing just clicked and opened right up. And I just sort of slammed it too, you know, and whirled that thing around, you know, and went through the same procedure he did. It opened me worked perfect. Just worked perfect. But now, wait a minute. She's opened that safe many a time. Worked for me. You see where we miss it? Now take that analogy over into the spiritual realm, like I said. No, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done. No, anything that they ask. Ask who? The Father in my name. It shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Far where two or three are gathered together in my name. in my name. In my name. We gather together in His name. We ask in His name. Don't leave His name out. Amen. There am I in the midst of them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. How would we act if we knew He was here? And we got His word for it, and He's here. Well, act that same way. Act that same way, and it'll work for you. Amen. You see, where two are united, as touching anything they ask, if it's healing, for instance, in the name of Jesus, that prayer is bound to be answered. God watches over His word. Amen? Now, another thing is this, that we can very often go through the motions and not really be in agreement. It looks like we are. One of our board members, a number of years ago, he was not a board member, but I was preaching in another part, way before we started Bible Training Center, another part of the United States, and he lived there. In fact, my wife and I spent some time in their home, and he helped us in setting up some meetings. And then he just simply took off from his business because he had more than one business. His wife also had a business. And just took off. I mean, we were 100 miles away and over 120 miles away. And he'd just take off from his business and come and be in every service. And I thought about, he was so diligent about it. That's the thing that made it work for him. Some other businessmen said, well, I heard him while he was here. And his business just went bankrupt. But this man got a hold of it, see. And it was a time that there was a recession on. And he, among other things, in the real estate business. And then he was in the construction business, and he'd built a number of houses, and they hadn't sold. They're just sitting there, you see. And then he needed to sell some property. So he and his wife, then after we left, we saw them later on, and nobody's selling anything. I mean, nobody's selling anything. But they just simply joined hands in their home where two or three gathered together and agreed. They'd take one house at a time and sold every single one of them. I mean, they just agreed on one at a time. They just didn't agree, we'll sell these houses. No, they specified. Praise God, they took this house and agreed on it. One time they agreed on it, thank God for it. And then they began to take their parcels of ground, and lots and land, and one by one just sold them off. Every single one of them sold. And other real estate company come talk to him. They just, well, how come? We don't understand that. Nobody's selling anything. And you just, well, glory to God. Amen. See, God's not bound by a recession. I mean, He's the same before the recession, while the recession's going on after the recession. See, He said, if two of you shall agree on it, touch anything they ask, as long as it's not a recession, on it to be done. Amen?
Amen.
No, that don't affect God the least bit in the world. Now then, they had one more house, and actually, what happened was that they hadn't sold this one, so they sold the house they were living in, and so he decided, well, we'll move into it till we sell it. And so she liked it. She didn't tell him. Now, he's going to build another one, did build another one, even better and bigger than that one. But she sort of liked it, you know, and so she went through the motion, joined hands with him, said the same word, but on the inside of her. You see, after all, you got to agree in spirit, in heart. Amen. See, and outwardly, it can look like you're agreeing. See, you can join hands and ask and pray. But it may be like the little boy that was naughty in class, and the teacher made him stand up in the corner. And he told somebody, he said, now I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. Amen. Amen. See? And then mentally speaking, it seemed like, you know, they were in agreement because they said the same words. Mentally, you see. But if your heart's not in it, It won't work. It just won't work. And so it didn't sell. It didn't sell. He can't figure out why it don't sell. We come by to visit with them, just holding meetings in that area and just spend a night or two with them. And she didn't really say anything to either one of us, but you know, said, well, boy, we've sold everything and this is the last thing. And he's saying, well, we're in agreement. It's taking longer on this one. I'll tell you, we've been 3 months and it still hadn't gone, but it's going because we're in agreement. Everything else did. So we saw him later then and she said, you know, I just finally had to confess to him. I mean, we went along 4 or 5 months and it didn't sell. And he can't figure that out because everything else went, you know. Well, I'll tell you this truth about it. If things don't work, there's no use of trying to figure out what's wrong with God. Because there's nothing wrong with Him. There's no use trying to straighten Him out. Because He's straight to begin with. And He don't ever change. And there's no use trying to figure out what's wrong with the Word of God. I'll tell you the thing about it is check up on yourself or else whoever is supposed to be in agreement with you. And find out where the problem is because it's on this end of the line. It's not on the other end of the line. And so she said to him, I'm just going to have to confess to you, my heart wasn't in it. I thought, well, I'd sort of like to keep this house, you know, for our home. He said, well, I'm planning on building one bigger than this one and better than this. And he did, see? And so finally she got in agreement. You know, when she got, now they've been 5 months trying to sell the thing. When she got in agreement with him, in 10 days' time, it's gone. Just worked almost like magic. But you see, you can't tell whether anybody's in agreement with you just by looking at them. Because they can put on a good front. Christians are good at that. Amen. Yeah, they can put on a good front, just smile, look pleasant, just act like, oh, I'm just with you 100%. Yes, sir. But you can't see down on the inside of the person. But God can. I said, God can. I said, God can. And you see, even men of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, can be mistaken. You remember Samuel? He's a prophet. God said to Samuel, go down to Jesse's house, anoint one of the boys to be king in Saul's place, you know. Saul backslid and God rejected him. Well, he went down there and said, God sent me down here, you know, for this purpose. Now, he didn't tell him which one it was. Isn't that strange? God don't do things like men does. His thinking's not like ours. And so they, you know, ran the oldest boy out there because really the oldest child ought to be the heir of everything, you know. He's the main one here. And so Eliab, and when he came out, Samuel thought, you see, man of God, prophet, standing in the office of the prophet. Oh, the Lord's anointing must be, this must be him. This must be him. Because he was of a fine, beautiful, you know, countenance and a marvelous, fine physique. He's looking on the outside. See, he couldn't see in the inside. He's looking on the outside. Outside, boy, he looks good. Man, that must be him. Man, he'd make a good king. Look at his countenance. Marvelous, beautiful countenance. Fine physique. Yeah, the Lord's anointed must stand before him. This must be him. Spirit of God said, no, he's not the one. That's not the one. Now, why? Well, he went on to tell him, the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance. Where does he look then if he don't look on the outward appearance? Huh? Where does he look? What's he looking at? Heart. I remember one time I was praying, fasting and praying. Boy, I'd missed it. Did you ever miss it? Oh, my Lord. I don't feel so bad. I'm not alone then. Got plenty of company. I'd missed it. And I'm praying, repenting, oh dear God, oh my God, you know. And sometimes in missing it, you can't see it right immediately. You know that? Sometimes you can't see it right immediately, you miss it. Sometimes it's on down the road, you see, boy, I sure missed it. Man alive, I missed it. Boy, I made a mistake there. I made the wrong turn, sure as the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. And see, this was several months after it, and it really just hit me. I was holding a meeting, 2 services a day, really. And I just stayed at the church, praying in the afternoon, you know, fasting, praying. Oh, my Lord, it just hit me while I was there, you know, how bad I had missed it. You know, I knew a little bit back up the road they'd missed it, all right. But, oh, dear Lord, I missed that a whole lot worse than I thought for. Man, I missed that. Oh, I'm just repenting before God, weeping, you know. I'm so ashamed of myself. There, God ought to do better by now. You know, been a Christian, you know, been in a ministry all these years. Then, about 30 some odd years. 32 perhaps. Been in a ministry 32 years. And saved, you know, all these years. And I ought to be doing better. And just flat missed it. That's all there is to it. I messed up there. I'm just repenting and repenting. Dear God, forgive me. Well, I knew he would because he said he would, but you feel bad about it. You just feel bad about it, you know. Dear Lord, I said, just forgive me. And I'd ask him before on back up the road a little bit, but it hit me now. It's a whole lot worse than I thought it was. You know what I mean? And the Lord said to me, just as plain, and I looked around, there's nobody there but me. Nobody there but me. But it's so real to me, you know, till you look around and see who said it. Maybe somebody come in and heard you praying, just spoke up and said, you know, because that's how real it was to you. Like, you know, the Lord said, you know, I forgave you on back yonder when you asked me. Now, don't feel bad about it because said, I don't look on the outward appearance. You look on the outward appearance, this looks bad. But said, I was looking at your heart all the time. And I saw that though you missed it, your heart was right. Your heart was perfect toward me. So I wrote down, this man's heart's perfect toward me. See, now that kind of thinking is hard for us to think. But you know, after all, the Bible said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, as high as the heavens are above the earth, God said, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. Amen. Watch your heart. Watch your spirit. That's what God's looking at. Keep it right. You know, you'll get tripped up a lot of times because of the flesh. You know, like you walk across the floor, you know, and stumble over something, you know. Didn't mean to, but you did anyhow. It hurt. Even though you didn't mean to, it hurt just as bad as if you'd meant to. Amen. Amen. Well, thank God. Can you say thank God?
Thank God.
God looketh on the heart. So you see, you can't tell. This carried back now to what we're talking about. You can't tell really whether anybody's in agreement with you or not. I've had people, I mean even ministers of the gospel and so on, religious leaders, that wanted you, and then we went right according to the word. Not only did we agree, but we ask. And it didn't work. Well, I tell you, I'm not one just to let the thing go because I know what I'm doing. And I want to check up on it because I know God didn't change and God didn't fail. The Bible didn't fail. But now where did we miss it? Well, I went over me, so I know I saw I didn't miss it. So I'll talk to him. I'll find out. Well, where did we miss it on that? You know, we agreed on this and asked and prayed. Yeah. I'm talking about a minister now. Well, I said, God don't miss it. Jesus can't fail. And I know as far as I'm concerned, because I've checked up on it, I'm believing. Now, what about you? And he just spoke up to it. Sort of grinned and said, I tell you, Brother Hagin said, I really didn't expect that to happen anyway. I was just hoping that it would. Well, it won't work. See, now I can't see into him to see that, see? Because from the outside, he looks like he's in full agreement with me. But you see, when you are in agreement, though, you'll take your stand. When you really do agree, you'll take your stand, as the old saying is, through hell or high water. Amen. Let come what may. Amen. I remember I was holding a meeting in Houston one time. And I'd preach, you know, quite frequently out there at Pasadena for Brother Goodwin. So Brother Goodwin called me. And he said, Brother Hagin, he said, I'm going to be there tomorrow. He called me in the afternoon to hotel, motel where I stayed. Said, I'm going to be in the service tomorrow. I have something in the morning I want you to agree with me on. So he came into Houston to the church where I was. And after the morning meeting, we went back into his prayer room. And he said, you know, I kept having some problems physically. And so my wife said, well, why don't you just go have a checkup, go see what's wrong. Then we'll know what to put her faith on. And so he said, I went to the doctor and said, my blood pressure was so high, it scared that doctor. He didn't want me to drive home. I mean, he said, you could have a stroke any minute. Man, your blood pressure, I forgot why he told me what it was, but it's way up there. And so he said, I said, well, that's all right, doctor. I know what to do. I knew the doctor, known him for years. I know what to do now. I know what to put my faith on. The doctor said, well, and you know, there's nothing wrong with taking medicine. But that was Brother Goodwin for it. He said, you know, if I, the doctor said, well, I would give you a prescription and so on. But he said, you probably wouldn't take it if I did. He said, well, I'm going to give you this diet seed anyway. And he said, Brother Goodwin said, that's all right. I know what to do about it. So he called me, said, I won't disagree. So we agreed. Well, now, he was somewhere over there in his 60s then. This is many years ago. And so we agreed. And then later on, I went back then to preach a meeting out there at Pasadena again. And so he was telling me, he said, after we agreed together. Now, here's what a lot of folks need to realize. Sometimes your greatest struggle and your greatest opposition and your greatest battle in healing is after you've been prayed for. Or after you've agreed. And that's where folks miss it because they think, well, it didn't happen because I'm worse. Very often people immediately will get worse. The devil's making his last stand, you see. He wants to defeat. So Brother Goodwin said, for 3 days, I had the hardest battle of my life. I'd get by in the daytime pretty good. I'm busy. I had symptoms, all right. But at nighttime, I'd go down, lie down, go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. And he said, man, there's the pulse in my neck was just, I mean, just like somebody hitting you. And the devil would say, well, it didn't work, did it? He said, every time I'd just answer him, yes, but Brother Hagin and I agreed. Well, you've still got the high blood pressure because you got all the symptoms. He said, I'd say every time, yes, but Brother Hagin and I agreed and asked and agreed and I'm well and I'm healed, so I'm healed. Well, you can see you're not. He said, every time I'd just answer him, yes, but Brother Hagin and I agreed. Well, he said, symptoms persisted. He got worse every day for 3 days. Instead of better, he's getting worse. And after that third night, fighting that thing all through, every symptom he had disappeared, left him. Amen. He said, I went back to the doctor. Said, doctor, I'm going to get you to check my blood pressure. He checked. He said, I beat anything I've ever seen. He said, he's just perfect. Just absolutely perfect. I saw him here in Tulsa 10 years later, and he was telling me that he had had another checkup in his blood 10 years later. Blood pressure was still perfect. Amen. Now, you see, he very easily could have been defeated. I said he very easily could have been defeated, but he knew enough to stand. Praise God. And so sometimes you just have to stand your ground and say, yes, but now we agreed to the devil. Because, see, Jesus was standing there when you all agreed. He's in on this. Jesus is in on that. He's invisible, but he's there in spirit. He knows exactly whether you did or whether you didn't from your heart. And if you know you did, then stand your ground. Don't be defeated. I tell the story sometime. It always blesses me to tell it. I'm going to tell it again. You mind me telling it again? I was holding a meeting in Plainview, Texas, in the First Assembly of God Church in December. Well, last 2 weeks of November. And it was 6 weeks. We ran right up to the Sunday before Christmas of 1949. And so the pastor said to me as we got down close to Christmas, said, Brother Hagin, and if you're going to hold a meeting, you got to get, particularly in a church, you got to get started before Christmas because Christmas season comes along, you can't start one. But if you can get a good revival spirit going, you can just carry it. A lot of time I'd run all my meetings right down to the Sunday before Christmas because I'd start back up early enough, you see. If you can start about around the 1st of December, well, of course, we started before then because 6 weeks meeting and run right on through. Now, he said, we'd like for you to stay, but I'm going to tell you ahead of time now, he said, because they were in Plainview, Texas, and their men, they'd built a new church, and we make one payment a year on it. First of the year, we make one payment. We don't make payments monthly because so many of our people were farmers. They'd farm hundreds of acres. One fellow had several thousand of acres, and their big crop was cotton, and it come off in the fall. And they'd bring their tithes in, see. Now, he said, our custom is this, that on December, every Sunday night of December, the Sunday night offering goes to meet this, that's offering. The tithes ran the church, you see, during the year. But that's offerings. And we make one payment for a year. So we have to take up the offering every Sunday night because, see, we got no money to do that. And we'll have to take that up first and then take an offering up for you. And I hope it doesn't affect the Vandas offering, but if you understand, want to stay, why we want you to stay. And I said, okay, fine, because God's in it, I'll stay. Well, I wrote and told my wife then, you see, after all, it says on earth. You know, God's not only over here in Oklahoma, he's down there in Texas. He's not only down in North Texas, he's out in West Texas, see? See, it's said on earth. You can agree together and maybe not even be physically present in the same place because it's really spiritual agreement anyway. Did you hear me now? See, there's so many facets here that we need to cover. That's the reason I'm taking my time. Now, it's good to join hands, and all that does, that physical agreement of joining hands is just simply supposed to be an outward sign of an inward evidence that inwardly in our spirits we're agreeing. But you can agree in spirit and be hundreds of miles apart or even on different continents of the earth. Because see, it says, if two of you shall agree on earth. Didn't say if two of you on one spot on the earth. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
And so I wrote my wife. We didn't make any telephone calls. I mean, we were as conservative as we could be about that. I came up in the Depression days. You know, they taught us, you know, even though electricity was real cheap in the Depression days, they taught us when you leave a room, turn the light off. And I do that yet. I have to go behind the grandchildren. They'll leave every light in the house on. I mean, when they get married, go to paying their own electric bill, they'll probably start turning them off. Amen. You know, you go to paying the bill yourself, it's a different story. So like Ken, he is graduating from high school, he's 18 years old. We bought him a car, not a new car. We couldn't afford a new one, but we got him a good one, real good one. And in fact, it was a car that one of my sister-in-laws had, and she never, in fact, still had the original tires on it. Several years old, but had the original tires when she bought them, see. And they weren't worn that bad, but it set up a lot, so the tires were, you know, sort of rotted. So I bought a new set of tires to put on it. I mean, it's just it's an older car, but it's almost like a new one. I mean, it was a pretty thing, and he really appreciated it, see. And so I bought him this new set of tires, you know, put it on there and gave it to him. That graduation present, graduated from high school. Well, one day I got in his car. You know, we were talking about it, something he'd been doing a little work on it and shining it up. And so I got in it and just burned rubber off, just took off down the road. Man, you see, he's in the seat. Oh, no! Don't do that! Well, I said, that's the way you did my car. Yeah, but he said, I'm going to have to buy the tires. That's the way he had done mine ever since he was 16 years old. Just take on, burn rubber down the street, you know? Any of you boys know what I'm talking about? Don't do that, yeah, but I've got to buy them. I got to buy them now. I got to buy them. It's different when you got to buy them. And Papa was buying them. Amen. Won't charge you anything for that. Just throw that in for you. So where were we? You remember where we were at our discussion? What's that? Yeah, no, I wasn't on the phone, didn't phone. Now see, if I hadn't asked, I wouldn't have known that you folks did not get what I'm saying. Got to start all over from the beginning now. Nobody got anything to say. No, I knew where I was all the time. I wanted to see if you did. So we just, you know, I came up that way. So we just didn't put any calls on unless necessary, but we did write one another a letter every day. Every day. Every single day. We wrote one another a love letter every single day. Glory to God. We've been in love 47 years.
Amen.
It's getting better all the time. Glory to God. We're still in love. Amen. 47 years. Plus now. Praise God. Amen. So we wrote one another a love. And once in a while we'd fill in something else if it's necessary, some news or something. But just write a love letter every day. So, in this letter I wrote, I told her about what the pastor had said after I'd written my love letter. And 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon now, it was on the same time zone, Central Standard Time then, you open your Bible there in Garland, Texas to Matthew 18:19. I'll open my Bible at the same time here in Plainview. Lay my hand on the verse, you lay your hand on the verse, and say, we ask and agree for so much money. Specified, so much money. Hallelujah. Well, they just passed the plate, didn't make any of it. Just one time a week, Sunday night, after they'd taken up their offering for the payment on the mortgage payment on the church. And, got $2, $3, $4 over what we agreed on. So we come up to this last Sunday, just the Sunday before Christmas. And we're agreeing on a little extra here because we're off a week at Christmas time, and then we haven't bought any Christmas yet. And I got to go home. This is the last Sunday. Christmas comes during the week then. So we just got a couple of shopping days before Christmas to get it done. So we need extra money. And so again, we did the same thing. And we'd gotten out to the parsonage after the service was over, and the pastor asked me, said, Brother Hagin, how'd your offering run this week? Now, in those days, a lot of the churches would just, even though this was a little larger church than most, they would count the offering and would record it on their books and just give it to you. They didn't fool to put it in the bank and write a check. Just give it to you. And I'm going home anyway, so they just gave it to me. But I didn't get this one. I said, I don't know. I didn't see it. He said, did the ushers give it to you? I said, no. Well, he said, I'm not glad. He said, I don't. They had a little Christmas program like, and they had to change some things around before I preached that night. And so he said, well, I'll go back over to church and look. So he went back to the church office, and he brought the, they had these, not buckets or plates, but bags they just passed around. And so he had poured it over into, well, there's a couple of them. Put everything in two of them and brought it out there. Brought it back to the park. He said, well, it's just there and off. They didn't even count it. I guess the reason they got busy and forgot it. He said, here, this just count it. And I'll, you count this bag and I'll count that bag. And dumped it out on the dining room table. And then, I'll just record it on the church books and you take it on. So I counted my pile and he counted his pile. And we're about $23 and some odd cents short what we'd agreed on. Well, he said, boy, I wanted to be more than that. I wanted to run at least as much as I did last Sunday night. That's too bad. I said, something wrong somewhere. If we would be as persistent and as adamant about making it work as we do find an excuse for it not to work, it'd always work for us. Amen. Did you get that?
Yes.
I said, did you get that?
Yes.
But see, the minute something don't seem to work, well, folks get panicked. Well, I didn't think it would anyway. Here we go. Wonder why. No, you got to stay in there sometime and just stand your ground. I said to the brother, my wife and I agreed on it. It has to be there. Well, he said, we just missed it then. So I counted my pile again. He counted his pile again. He wrote it down. I wrote my number down. We added it up, come out the same thing, $23 some odd cents short. Well, I'm sorry, Brother Hagin said, that's all. I said, yeah, but no, I can't leave. I can't go home. No, we agreed. My wife and I agreed. I said, if the Lord Jesus Christ himself came right down through the ceiling, stood right here and you could see him, said, now your problem is you didn't agree. I said, I'd have to say it in tones of kindness. You're lying about it. I do. We agreed. Now, ain't that strange? We don't know whether we agreed or not. And yet, you could have a, going to buy a new pair of shoes. And it costs so many X dollars. Well, I don't know whether we can do that or not. Wife said, maybe we shouldn't. It's her shoes you're going to buy. Oh, no, we can do it. And you know exactly when the two of you can agree to buy those shoes. And if you're on the way to the shoe store and somebody said, now, y'all are not in agreement, you'd laugh at them, wouldn't you? Huh? You'd laugh at them. Well, if you had a house you was going to sell, you just put up a sign out in the yard that said, for sale by the owner. And I stopped by then. How much you want for that? The wife there at home, husband, not. Well, we want so much, we'll say $150,000. But see, husband and wife already agreed. Now, we're going to ask $150,000, but we'll not take a penny less than $125,000. Now, they know exactly when they agreed on that, don't they? And whether they do or not, don't they? But now, isn't it strange when it comes over here, though, we think it's sort of religious or something that we sort of act sort of like we don't know. sort of mystical-like or something. No, bless God, just a matter of getting in agreement, that's all. And so he said, well, maybe I missed it and you missed it. He said, must be there then. So we swapped. He counted my pile and I counted his. Added it up, comes the same figure. He said, I'm sorry. I said, no, brother, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I said, my wife and I agreed. Now, and you've got to be this honest and this sincere to make things work for you. Just haphazard, fool around with it, maybe it might be so, it won't work. I said, you see, I've got to stay over here and preach in your church next Sunday and tell folks that Jesus Christ is a liar. And then I've got to go back to everywhere I preach, because I preached this everywhere I went. If two of you agreed, we agreed and it didn't work. So I've got to go back and straighten it up. Tell them the New Testament's a fake. Well, bless God, it's got to be there then. You count that again, and I'll count mine again. We started counting about that time. I remembered something. I said, wait a minute. Always had a book table. I didn't have any books then myself, but I'd carry good books on healing and faith, like Dr. Lillian Bjoman's books and different ones. And I had a few Bibles. And I got down and just had one left, and a lady said, Brother Hagin, I want that Bible to give my husband for Christmas, but I don't have a checkbook tonight. And I don't want you to lose that. And I said, well, I knew her. She's a member of that church. I said, just go ahead and take it and bring the money in before the meeting's over. Because somebody else comes along, he's laying there, they may want it, you see, and I can't, you know. So go ahead. So she took it. So this last night, she handed me an envelope. I had it in my inside coat pocket. She said, Brother Hagin, there's the money. There's the money for the Bible in there. And then I added an offering on the check. Now, I didn't put it in the offering plate tonight, or that bag, because I just want to give that directly to you. Didn't even want the church having the record of it. Beside that, both the Bible and the offerings there, see, the same check. I said, wait a minute. I told him, I said, a lady, I didn't tell him who it was, didn't tell him where the member of his church, who it was, who it wasn't. I just said, a lady bought the Bible, and she handed it to me and said, there's also an offering there. I said, wait a minute. So I opened the envelope up, I looked at it. The offering is $25. Well, we're only $23 short. So we went over. I said, now I can go home. Now I can go home. You say, what would you have done, though, if it hadn't happened? Bless God, I'd been there counting that yet. I'd been there counting that yet. This is 85 and that's 49. I meant what I said. Praise God, I'd have gone back everywhere and I'd preached and straightened it up and told them, said, well, now you can't go by the New Testament. No, we ought to set out to prove God's Word's true, and it is true, and it will work. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And if we'd find as many excuses and reasons why the Word of God should work as we do for it not to work, it'd always work.
Amen.
Amen. And if we'd be just as persistent and just as adamant about it, that God's Word does work, and just hang in there like we did, like me and Brother Goodwin did. I didn't know the battle he's having. It worked. But see, the first little old thing that comes up with many people when they agree about something, first little old thing that don't seem like it's a working, it don't look it. Well, it didn't look it with Brother Goodwin. Didn't look it with us. It doesn't seem that way. It didn't seem that way. What I can see, it don't seem that way. Amen. It seems exactly opposite of what you're believing and agreeing on. And the first little thing, the problem with a lot of folks, first little thing that shows up. Well, I knew it wouldn't work for me anyway. Well, it won't. I said it won't. And I tried and tried and tried, and it just don't ever work for me. I don't understand that. And then they'll bring up a lot of excuses sometimes. Well, you know, after all, I never have just lived like I should have lived. Well, most of us haven't. But thank God, if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us. And so He did forgive you. And they'll go to find excuses, you know, why maybe it didn't work. Well, maybe I missed God on back yonder, didn't know it. Maybe there's some secret sin about me that I don't know about that keeps God from working on my behalf. And then you go to thinking like that, and the devil will bring all kinds of stuff in on you.
Yes.
I mean, it'll just crowd in on top of you. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know whether it helps you or not, but I've done it again. I preach me happy. God's Word works. Stand up. Stand up and say it out loud. God's Word works. Say it again.
God's Word works.
Say it again.
God's Word works.
Now Now say this, God's word works for me.
God's word works for me.
Say it again.
God's word works for me.
Say it again.
God's word works for me.
Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and praise God because it does.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to His holy name. Glory to His holy name. Glory to His holy name.